Hello and welcome to the Aware Parenting Stories podcast. My name is Joss Golden and I'm so happy that you're here. In this podcast series, I interview people who are passionate about parenting. We talk about many things to do with parenting and motherhood and explore the joys and challenges that we all face in our families. The aim of the podcast is to share more about aware parenting, to inspire us all on our parenting adventures, and to support us all to raise our children with more awareness, connection, and love. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Aware Parenting Stories podcast. Today, I'm really excited to be having a conversation with fellow Aware Parenting instructor, Ellie Gutt-Silverman. Ellie, hi, thank you so much for making time to come and talk to everybody today.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
So I will just introduce you. Ellie is an Aware Parenting instructor who lives with her husband, Gideon, and their beautiful daughter, Zeva, their Irish wolfhound, Alfie, three bulls and three goats just outside Bellingen in New South Wales. Before motherhood, Ellie worked as an architect and a trauma-informed yoga teacher, yet always felt a deep yearning to be even more of service through her work. When she discovered and began implementing the transformative path of aware parenting, Ellie knew that she had finally found what she was here to do. She is dedicated to supporting families throughout pregnancy and in early parenthood. Her heartfelt intention is for all babies and children to feel seen, heard, respected, and understood, and for parents and carers to experience the remarkable flow-on effect this has on children's behavior, sleep, and presence. Ellie is continually in awe of how interconnected we are with our children and is passionate about supporting others on their paths of reparenting, repatterning, and healing so they can live and parent with more presence, compassion, ease, and joy. It's just such a beautiful bio, Ellie. I love so many things. I just want to dive into that, actually. There's so many beautiful words that you've used in there. And yeah, well, I'm really looking forward to this conversation. So I wonder if we might start with you just sharing a bit about how you found aware parenting and what was it about it that just drew you in, that made you feel alive and that led you down this path where you're now sharing it with others?
Yeah, I'd love to. And thank you. So I first heard about aware parenting when I was pregnant. I was about 6 months pregnant. And it was through a post by my very dear friend, who's also an aware parenting instructor, Sarah Mason. And I remember seeing this post and thinking, well, like, that all sounds lovely, but like, what do parents need support with? Like, I just didn't really get it because she was sharing that this was her career now. And I was like, that's really cool and looks nice. But at the time, I was so focused on birth and pregnancy and physiology and anyway, I think that just was filed somewhere in my mind, and we had a beautiful pregnancy and a really amazing, empowering home birth. And the first 2 weeks of parenthood was quite beautiful and nourishing, of course, also with all of the bigness of adjusting to becoming parents for the first time. And then when my daughter was 2 weeks old, she developed a very aggressively infected abscess in one of her nipples, a staph infection. And at 9 p.m. one night, we had to rush to the ER. And it was the first time I'd left the house since she was born. So the first time we'd used the car, the first time we'd used the car seat. And it was really, really big. And we were in and out of hospital for 3 days. And it was a really traumatic experience for all of us. And my daughter ended up having to have her abscess surgically drained. And I had to like hold a dummy in her mouth while the surgeons were draining it to keep her still. And we'd never used a dummy before. And we knew it was like needed to help her, but it was all so overwhelming and traumatic. And then we were able to go home and move on, and we kind of resumed our life. And then by the time Zeva was 2 months old, she'd started having these really, really big cries. And everything I I guess the belief that I held at the time, based on everything I had read and heard and understood about babies and about my role as her mother, was that if she was crying, it meant there was something wrong and that it was our job to help her, to fix her, to soothe her. And so, you know, after trying lots of different things, my husband and I found that putting her in the carrier and taking her on a walk would eventually soothe her and stop the crying. And so we did this a lot. And, you know, as we would notice her big cry coming on, and once we'd tried all the other obvious things like breastfeeding and changing her nappy and et cetera, one of us would kind of anxiously put her in the carrier and get out the door. And I remembered like one of these moments while I was walking with her in the pouch, and she had this, you know, such a big cry. Someone else was passing by us, and I just remember fearing that this other person would think that I'd abducted this child, because like no baby would cry like that in the arms of their mother. That was the belief. That was what I understood. And this continued for another month. And then when she was 3 months old, I was out on a walk one day, and I just had that thought bubble of like, what was that thing that Sarah was writing about? And then I went back and found her post, and I was like, oh, we're parenting. Like, what is that? Found a podcast and started listening to an introduction to Aware Parenting. And I remember I was walking and Zeva was asleep in the pouch. And I remember hearing for the first time Marion explain that from an Aware Parenting perspective, babies can cry for two reasons. And the first, obviously, what we know, that they can be crying to communicate a need. And the second, that they can be crying as a way to release stress and to move through feelings and to heal from trauma. And as I heard her explain this, I just had these like full body goosebumps and these visions and like flashes of her in the hospital, me holding her down. And I just knew, like completely, undeniably knew that that was what she was trying to do. She was trying to heal from this experience, and I'd been stopping her. And so from then I was just like voraciously curious. I bought the Aware Baby, and I was just listening to all the podcasts I could find. And I just loved everything I was taking in. It all made so much sense to me. And I think that if I could boil it down to one main thing that really drew me in, it was just this core belief that we can trust babies and children and their inherent wisdom, that we don't need to fix them, we don't need to control them, that they know what they need. And that if we tune in, they're constantly trying to communicate what they need to us. And yeah, I just was so passionate and started practicing really straight away, and just wanted to share about it with everyone.
Wow. I just really love that story. And one of the things I love most about listening to you and watching you speaking then, Ellie, was this, like, such a transformation in you and your voice and your face when you were sharing that story, and how stressful and difficult things were for you when you had to go through this incredibly traumatic and painful and stressful experience with your beautiful girl having to be in hospital, you having to hold her down, you having to, you know, give her a dummy for the first time ever, all whilst being the first time in a car. And I'm just sending so much love to you. I imagine that was the most horrendous experience ever. And how stressful that was then afterwards because of all the feelings and stress that she was holding in. And that moment where you were judging yourself and imagining that this person walking past would be considering that you might have abducted this child because of the big feelings that she was having. And then you started to talk about this contrast between the belief that you'd had up to that point, that if a child was crying, it meant something was wrong with them and that it was our job to fix it and work out what it was and then soothe them. And then you started talking about this incredible awakening that you had when you heard Marion describing this, and you had this real like embodied knowing and those goosebumps when you heard her speaking. and you realize that crying is healing, and you realize that was such a clear explanation of what she'd been doing in hospital and since hospital too. And then from that point, this beautiful contrast of the anxiety of trying to fix and trying to get her to calm down and trying to take her out in a stroller or the pouch or whatever to calm her down, with this beautiful sense of just trusting that children know, and they know what they need, and they know how to heal, and our job is just to hold them in that rather than having to fix or control or make it all go away. And it was just so beautiful to see that, like, just the relief and the joy and the amazing meaning that you got so immediately when you read that. And I love that it was this post from Sarah that somehow, like, it was there in your mind, stored away, and when the timing was right, you refound that. It's just a gorgeous story. Thank you. So how did you find it when you first came to start listening to feelings? Because it's one thing to understand it and for it to really make sense and to resonate for us, but it's quite another thing to start actually doing it. How was that process for you?
Yeah. So I think that it all resonated so much with me. And I think that I listened to and took in so much information quite quickly. And I just felt really ready to try. And so the first time I listened to my daughter, she was 3 months old. And I just remember sensing that there was that big cry coming on. And instead of doing what we had done in the past, my whole, as you described, my whole energy was so different, from like rushing out the door and, you know, just trying to fix, to just checking in with myself, finding a comfortable chair, sitting down. And yeah, I just held her, and I told her I was there and I was listening. And she had this big, I say now beautiful, I don't know if I would have said then beautiful, but she had this big, beautiful cry. It went on probably for 45 minutes. And I think I had listened to enough that I could spend most of the time feeling pretty confident that it was helping her, that it was supporting her. I had thoughts arise, but I never doubted, like, that she was okay. It was incredible. I remember feeling these moments of the most intense eye contact that we had shared, like such piercing kind of connection. And I really sensed that she felt like I was seeing her. And yeah, you know, she was pushing with her arms and kicking with her legs and throwing herself back. But I knew I wasn't kind of scared of these things because of everything I had read and heard by this point. And so I was able to stay with her through that whole expression. And after about 45 minutes, the cry kind of started to wind down, and she was so relaxed. Like, I'd never felt her body so relaxed, and she just fell asleep. And yeah, like, she was so floppy. And I just remember being amazed that I hadn't done anything. Like, I hadn't had to do anything to her. Every nap, every, you know, sleep before then, or even anytime she was crying, I had had the perspective that, like, I had to do something. And I just allowed. I was just there. I just supported her to do what she'd been trying to do all this time. Yeah, so it was, and then, you know, there was immediate reassurance. Like, the nap itself for me, like, the fact that she moved from that big wave into that totally relaxed, you know, her body just felt totally relaxed. And then she had her longest nap that she had ever had so far. And then when she woke up, she was super alert and present, and the rest of the day just felt easier. So yeah, it was like instant reassurance, and there was just more and more and more. And there continues to be, as you know, as this practice really deepens, as she gets older and I explore it more and more.
Wow. Just imagine, it's going to be so helpful for people to understand and to hear, because I think it's so important, isn't it? It's so helpful for us to be really diving in deep if this resonates for us, and to be learning lots and lots and reading lots and understanding it and reflecting on it and really making sense of it, so that then when we start to listen to our children, we have this real, like, embodied presence with them and this real clarity and this spaciousness and this calm confidence in what we're doing. And I loved how you described that process that you started by checking in with yourself, because I think that's so, so important. And so often we're like, oh no, I need to be listening to feelings. I must listen to feelings. I'm just going to go. She's got feelings. I'm going to listen. But to start with that step where we check in with ourselves and just be like, okay, there's feelings here. Have I got it? Am I ready? Can I hold space? Is such a beautiful way to start. And I loved also that you were talking about how you were taking care of yourself too, that you were, you know, making sure that you had a comfortable place to sit. Because again, I remember just listening to feelings and at the end of it, my back would be so sore because I would be in some kind of really weird contorted position. But actually when I started to take care of myself, it made it so much easier to listen for as long as that took. And I loved how you described the connection between you, of that like piercing eye contact, that deep and just, I mean, it's extraordinary. There's nothing like it. And that yet she's in the midst of big, intense feelings and doing all these big movements. And yet through that and in that, there is this powerful and beautiful connection. And I loved how you talked about allowing instead of doing. You're just allowing her to go through that process rather than having to do things to her. And how beautiful that evidence that you saw straight away in terms of increased sleep and change in her body and how her body was feeling. And of course, in her presence too. That's just amazing. I'd love to ask you a bit, because that's not always the case for parents, is it? Sometimes it is a longer process. And I wonder what you think about why it was that straight away you noticed such a difference in her. Do you think that was just because you were so clear and so relaxed and confident about what you were doing? Or do you think there's something else there? Because sometimes parents listen for quite a while and do a lot of this before they get that evidence.
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And there's lots of things that I'm hearing you say. And I want to say I haven't and still don't manage to have that awareness all the time, you know, of like really checking in with myself. And we can talk about that more, but I think that's such an important part of the practice. I think that maybe in this case, like, I just feel like she had been holding and trying to like get these particular feelings out, maybe her age too, like it hadn't been that long of them being held in. And it just felt like this particular release just wanted to like move through her. But it wasn't just that one chunk of listening, you know, and then no more listening. Like there was a lot of feelings that had to be heard, and there still are, you know. My mind's going to a few different kind of branches, like something that I remember learning around that time, but not right at the beginning, that I found incredibly helpful with listening to her and also seeing like more of a, I guess, more evidence that like it had supported her, more change in her, is like really checking in to see if she's finished, you know? So sometimes she would like share for a while, like, you know, whatever it was, half an hour. And I think, oh, okay, great, she's asleep, like she's done. And then I remember learning at some point she might not be done. Like she might have released enough just to fall asleep, but there might still be more there. And that might be what wakes her up after one sleep cycle, or, you know, or why she might wake up from her nap and still have more feelings. And so I learned to, you know, I think that first time it was really huge. And I did see something right away. Maybe it is for some of the reasons you spoke to, like maybe I just felt confident enough at that point to stay in it. But yeah, I remember like this was another deepening for me of kind of, okay, so she's fallen asleep, but is she super floppy in her body? And I would kind of pick up one arm, and if there was like any resistance in her arm, then I would know there's still more feelings there. And I would just kind of gently move her or say something to offer that I was still listening. And then often there would be another few chunks of feelings that wanted to come through. So that I remember was like a really big shift for us.
Yeah, that's really helpful. That's really nice. And I think we just tend to underestimate how many feelings children have, don't we? I think you know, often people say, oh, I listened to half an hour of feelings, but she still woke up. And I think it's really helpful for parents just to be reminded of how many feelings children have throughout their life. And it's not that we practice aware parenting and listen to feelings so that our children don't have any feelings anymore. It's more that we get into the habits of welcoming and acknowledging that there will be feelings often, many, many, many days of feelings, like more days of feelings than not feelings. And it's about that relationship of being together and being in feelings with our children and supporting them in that, that is what we're really called to do again and again. And I know one of the things that you talk about and like to share about is the interconnectedness then between us and our children. What did you learn? What have you been struck by? What would you like to share about that?
Yeah, that's so big. And I want to talk about that, but I would just love to add something to that last topic, because I see this a lot, like even just between my husband and I, the kind of the promise of like what will happen when you've like listened to your child's feelings, and then there being days when it's like, oh, but I've listened so much. And I love that you've asked that question, and I think it's really important to just bring awareness to that. And I'm, you know, every child is different, and the level of sensitivity is different, and the amount of stress and trauma and everything that they've experienced. But our journey definitely has been non-linear, and there've been different events that have happened. And so, yeah, I guess I just want to offer that it hasn't been a kind of like, oh, we just listened this day and then everything was magically different. It's an ongoing practice and relationship that we always have and that we can always feel into. And then, yeah, I mean, from there, I'll go into the interconnectedness, because I think for me, this is what makes aware parenting so transformative and so healing, because no matter how much we might want to, and I want to a lot of the time, and I think that with our conditioning, many mothers and many parents would want to give all of these incredible things to our children and not to ourselves, and it just isn't possible. And like, I'm constantly reminded of that, because I'll just go back into the pattern, the place of like, oh no, Zeba clearly has feelings. She needs me, and just trying to support her, and they won't move if I have my own unmet needs or my own built up feelings. And it can be so frustrating, but I also think it's like one of the most beautiful, powerful gifts of this approach. And I'd love to share, like, I think the first time that this was made very, very evident to me, Zeba was 9 months old, and you know, I could see she was tired, and I could see she had feelings, and I was doing all the usual things that I did at the time to try to invite her feelings and support her for a nap. We were doing, you know, particular attachment play, and she was just like distracting herself, and I would keep trying to go in, and you know, and then I tried loving limits, and just she kind of just respected the loving limits, but no feelings came. And I tried gently holding her, and nothing. Like, and I was like, okay, it's not coming. I'll just take a moment. And so I kind of stepped back a little bit, and I saw on my phone that I'd received a response from one of my listening partners. And so I told Zeba, who was, you know, like kind of distractedly playing, I was like, mommy's just going to listen to something. And I listened to this message from my listening partner, and it just, you know, I felt so heard and acknowledged, whatever it was that I was sharing at the time, that I, you know, started to shed a few tears. It wasn't like super big feelings, but just a little release. And I always make a point with, if I'm with Zeba, when I have my own feelings, of saying, you know, mommy has some feelings too. It's not your fault. Like, you don't need to listen to mommy. And yeah, anyway, I like shed a few tears while listening to this voice note. And then as soon as I finished, Zeba just crawled into my lap and started sharing her feelings. It was like as though she was saying to me, ah, now you're ready, mommy. Like, now you have some space for me. And it just, like, that was the first time, but there have been so many examples since then where, yeah, it's just like, I'm like, no, I can do this. I can, if we just play this game, or we just do this, or I just take a deep breath. But it's remarkable. We just can't fake it. And as a result of that, for the first time in my life, it means that I truly value meeting my own needs. And I prioritize moving through my feelings and, you know, my need for being heard and receiving support. And yeah, like I said, I really think this is what makes this such a healing journey. Like, it can't be a one-way thing. We all have to receive this in order for it to work.
Oh, yes. That's amazing. I love how you describe that. It is absolutely where the transformation and healing lies, isn't it? And I loved how you expressed that really this all depends on us giving what we give to our children to ourselves too. And that, you know, wanting to listen to feelings and wanting to be there to support our children is not enough. Mm. Even knowing how to, even practicing, even doing lots of it, it's just not enough if we are not also tending to our unmet needs and our own accumulated feelings. And I just think that is such an important message for parents to hear. So I love how you describe that. And I also really loved how you were talking about reassuring her in that moment that you had feelings too, because parents often say, is it okay for me to cry in front of my child? And I really loved that you say to her, you know, mummy's got feelings and it's not your fault, and that she is not responsible for your feelings and she is not responsible for listening to your feelings. You are just normalizing to her, I have feelings, so I'm going to get support and I'm going to cry. And what an amazing thing to model to a child. Yeah. It's so, so beautiful. And I really loved how you described her almost saying to you, by crawling into your lap then, yeah, I'm ready. You're great. You're ready. You're actually here. You can actually do this now. So I'm going to bring it to you. And yeah, that's something I've seen time and time and time again with my own children too. And it's this really lovely knowing that we can't just push through. We can't coerce ourselves. We can't force it. And then that sense you described so beautifully about now truly valuing your needs and the expression of your feelings, because you can see how important it is for your daughter that you do that, and for everyone in the family that you do that. It's just so, so beautiful. And I wonder if, therefore, your relationship with your own feelings has changed a lot as a result of that. I imagine it has. Is there anything you're willing to share about that?
Yeah, I'd love to share something about that, totally, drastically. Well, one thing I guess I could start by sharing, that I have been a dedicated practitioner of yoga and meditation for a really long time, and I adore both of these practices, and they're still really a deep part of my life. But through this practice of aware parenting, I have come to see how much I started practicing yoga when I was 13, and my family had just moved countries, and it was an amazing support for me. But I kind of have come to see how much these practices have become a way for me to not feel my feelings, or to, you know, to change my emotional state. And they're incredible at this. They're, you know, amazing tools. I could give an example. I remember early on in practicing aware parenting, I woke up one morning and I had had a dream that night of having a tantrum, and I had the energy still in my body, like the rage of my own tantrum. And I had the first thought I thought when I had some time to myself was like, oh, well, I'll just do my practice and then I'll feel better. And I thought, no, hang on. I'm not going to use my practice to not feel these feelings. I love my practice, and, you know, it offers me so many incredible benefits that we don't need to go into here, but I'm not willing anymore to use it to bypass, to not feel my feelings. And so instead, that morning, I just started punching pillows and yelling, and I didn't even know what I was angry about, but I just started creating some kind of outlet. And, you know, as I did, words came and I got some clarity about what I was feeling, and then the rage melted into some tears, and I had some beautiful tears, and then I felt really calm, and I was like, great, now I'm going to do my practice. And the awareness I now have of sensation in my body is really, really different. Another example I could give is, I think I used to label a lot of feelings as anxiety. I was like, I'm feeling anxious. I need to exercise. And what I've come to see is like that word, that experience for me, myself, that label I had of anxiety was actually just the pushing down of feelings. And it was like the unenjoyable sensation of there being stuff there that wasn't felt. And then as soon as it's felt, heard, expressed, you know, it's homeostasis again, just like we see with our children. And so, I mean, I could talk and talk about this at length, but I guess the simplest thing I would say is I have such a regular practice now of sharing my feelings to numerous different listening partners.
That was such a beautiful story that you shared there. And I think this is a really important point that you raise. I'm so glad that you shared that, because I love how clear you are that whilst these practices, in your case, yoga and meditation, and it might be all kinds of different things for different people, but essentially what you're talking about is practices for our nervous system that are amazing and wonderful and healing and full of amazing benefit for us. But if these practices are being used to suppress feelings, if these practices are being used as a way to bypass, if these practices are being used to not feel, then of course the result of doing them is not going to be this healing and releasing experience for us. And yet what you're describing is when you're willing to tune in, to connect with the sensations in your body and what they might be telling, and to bring you to what's going on for you, you are then able to release in this amazing, powerful, innate way to get that stress out of your body, be that through crying and tears or raging and shouting, through shaking, through all the different things that you might do, and laughter too. And we can really see that this is something, of course, that we recognize for our children, but is also so essential for ourselves. And it's something that's missing in so many different, it's the missing piece, isn't it, really?
Totally.
From so many other perspectives. And yet it is this process of taking stress and agitation and distress and trauma and unsettled and tension and agitation and all of these things out of our body by doing what our bodies are actually designed to do. And I loved what you were saying about anxiety for you now being something that you used to think, oh, I'm feeling anxious. And now what you can see so clearly that for you, when you're having that experience of anxiety, it's really telling you that there's something there that you are trying to push down, and it's the pushing down and the suppressing of the feeling that is causing that sensation of anxiety rather than the feelings themselves. And that's just so powerful, because then you are supported to have this amazing regular practice that you're describing of sharing your feelings with multiple listening partners. And yeah, I really, really love the clarity with which you describe that. And I think that is just really transformative for people to know. And I know that for me too, I'd done lots of therapy and lots of counseling and lots of all kinds of different practices, but it wasn't really till I got into aware parenting and started applying the aware parenting framework to myself and my own feelings that I really experienced profound healing for myself. And what it also is so beautiful about it is that when you have that awareness and you're able to support yourselves in that way, your practices of yoga and meditation are so much more profound than when they're actually being used to suppress feelings, when you do it as well as crying, as well as raging, as well as sharing and offloading. So thank you so much for sharing that. What you're sharing is you've noticed this amazing power of aware parenting in terms of your connection and your relationship with your beautiful daughter. And then what you started to learn about the power of aware parenting to support your relationship with yourself. I wonder how that has also then gone on to bring clarity and healing in terms of your connection and your relationship with others, your partner and other people in your life. What would you like to share about that?
Yeah, thank you. I think that something I am so grateful for in my relationship with my husband as a result of aware parenting and all that we've both learned is really our collective understanding of our needs and our feelings. We found out about nonviolent communication around the same time as aware parenting. And my husband and I have been together for 16 years, and we've, you know, we've always had a really beautiful connection. And we, I think, have always deeply prioritized each other and connecting with each other. And this lens, this understanding has, and I think especially like in parenthood, like I think that, we had reasonable ways of communicating before and moving through challenge, but the number of needs and feelings that arise, for new parents is so, so huge. And I just really see that we very rarely go to that place of like blaming the other, or if we do have resentment bubble up, we can see that like this resentment means that one of us has some unmet need, or, that there's feelings here. And, this isn't possible all the time, but I also feel like this lens has supported me. When I say this lens, I mean this awareness that from an aware parenting perspective, behind any really unenjoyable behavior moment are those three things. There might be an unmet need, there might be a need for information, or there might be accumulated feelings. And just having that awareness in my day-to-day life and relationships, like I think in the past where my husband or anyone might have been expressing feelings, I might have gone in to try to have the conversation and like express my perspective or offer different information. And now it's just like this kind of, I don't know the word, but just this awareness, like this is feelings. They just need to be heard. Like, let's just listen. We don't need to do anything. Let's just listen. And there's so much more compassion, and he's able to hold that for me too.
Wow. Yes. Mm. I mean, it is so beautiful, and it's such an additional unexpected gift of aware parenting, isn't it? That it actually can bring this level of connection and closeness and conscious, deliberate support for ourselves and our partner too. And I loved what you were describing there around just having this increased understanding that underneath all behavior is a very legitimate thing. And when we can see it that way and translate behavior that way in our partners too, it supports us to be able to support them in a way that brings them and us back to connection and back to balance and back to calm. So it's such a healthy and beautiful thing to bring to our relationships. It's so, so powerful. And it takes us out of that sort of, reaction with our partner, and instead invites us into responding to them just in the same way as it does with our children.
Yeah. And to ourselves, like there are moments I think where my inner dialogue might still be he this, or it's not fair, or whatever is coming up from my own feelings. And instead of that kind of looping and leading towards the way I behave, I'm now able to say like, okay, there's something here. Like, what am I needing? Is there something I need? Or, okay, what am I feeling like? Is this from now? Is this, what? There's something here. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Yeah. It's just, it allows you to be so, so conscious of what's going on for you, and to be so supportive of yourself, because then there's always a solution, and we're looking at going for the source of what the problem is and what the difficulty is, and addressing that so that we can increasingly like be behaving and living in alignment with how we actually want to be showing up in the world. It's really beautiful, isn't it?
Mm.
Would you like to talk then a little bit about how you've supported Zeva now that she's older to be this beautiful, cooperative, wonderful toddler, and to have all the big feelings that come with the toddler years, and how you found that chapter?
Yeah. I mean, I am like constantly in awe of how willing and cooperative Zeva is most of the time. Definitely not all the time, but when she isn't, I always know what to do thanks to aware parenting. I think that's one of the things I love most about aware parenting is it's given me so much more confidence and ease as a mother, as a new mother. it's so different to the things we're told about a two-year-old. She's so willing to, you know, return something if it's, you know, if we're playing with something at a restaurant or something and it's time to go, and we'll say, are you willing to leave that here? She'll almost always very willingly do so. And it's not coming from a place of like feeling like she has to, you know, she kind of will delightfully cooperate. But then of course, when she isn't, and there's plenty of those moments, I think for me, mostly our go-to is attachment play at the moment, you know, getting dressed. Sometimes she's willing to, and sometimes she's not. And we have so much fun with it. You know, sometimes she'll just start running away. And so we'll play like, oh, how are we going to get you dressed if I can't even catch you? And like, we'll follow her and laugh. And, you know, then she'll just be willing to get dressed at some point, or she'll choose where she wants to get dressed. Or I will just be silly and like say, oh, I know what I'm going to wear, and like put on her pants as a hat. And eventually she'll, you know, say, that's not mummy's, it's Eva's. And so all of these beautiful tools, I just observe that she doesn't do a lot of the kind of classic toddler things. I've never seen her snatch something from someone else. Or she's just got such a gentle and loving presence. But when she has feelings, you know, she will become less cooperative. And yeah, and then as I said, it's so clear.
No, it's so lovely, isn't it? And I'm really touched by what you're talking about there in terms of the effect on her of being supported in this way and having her needs met and having her feelings heard and having things explained to her in a way that really makes sense for her, so that so often she is able to be cooperative, connected, and just gentle and soft and loving. But also how that has really supported you to feel so much more confident and to enjoy parenting so much more, because like you say, you always know what to do. And we don't necessarily know why our child has big feelings, and we don't need to. But when we can see that that's what's underneath their behavior, we know how to move in and support them in that. And so it just makes the process so much easier, particularly at challenging times. And I loved how you brought in attachment play, because that's such a powerful way to support our children. Is there anything else you want to say about that? Any other games that you've particularly enjoyed, or anything about that process learning to offer attachment play that was difficult for you initially?
Sure. Oh, we've had so many different games over that. Just one of the things I love is the way they evolve. Like, I'll sometimes introduce something and then she'll kind of take it and run with it. And maybe I'll give some more examples as we chat. There are definitely times when I find it hard to play, and I'm kind of aware that there's some of my own feelings there. I think sometimes I have the story in my mind that it's more tiring, but when I have the little bit of energy needed to, you know, to play, it's actually a lot less tiring than kind of trying to go through our day without play. But yeah, I think it might just speak to how well my needs for rest and time to myself and doing the things that I love and yeah, all of those things are met. I feel like it's also something that it kind of feels like a bit of a practice too. You're like reconnecting with that playful side.
Yes, thank you for sharing all that. It's so, so beautiful. And it's really lovely as a reminder too for parents to know that we can come back to this trusting in our children, because so often they are the ones that are initiating the play and coming up with exactly the games that they want. And I loved how you talked about so many of the games that are games that have kind of evolved from, you know, almost accidents initially to becoming really beautiful, powerful ways to connect. I really love too how you talked about our feelings and how important our feelings are in terms of our capacity to play and what we're telling ourselves too in the moment. And how when your needs are met and when your feelings have been heard, it does support you so much to reconnect with that playful side of you. One of the other things that I'd love to just speak about, which you've touched on here, which I think is really, really beautiful, is how you're describing your daughter's nature as being so gentle and so loving and so present much of the time, particularly when her needs are met and when her feelings have been heard. And I wonder if you might be willing to share something about the effect, the ripple out effect of raising our children this way, on the world. And, you know, God knows we need more of that in the world right now. I wonder if you had anything you might like to say about that as we're coming towards the end of the podcast.
I love that question. I mean, something that fills me with hope is the thought of this next generation. Maybe something really simple I can share is that, like, you know, at almost two, I see the way my daughter experiences the world and the compassion, her lens of compassion, you know. So we'll see a baby crying and she'll say, feelings, like someone's, you know, this, sometimes she'll say, mommy, listen, if, you know, if so, no, if someone else isn't listening, you know, or someone that we're spending time with will behave in a way that is not that enjoyable. And she'll see that they have feelings. You know, I feel like she can see what so many of us can't see. And that's just her way of being in the world. I mean, that's one thing that comes out for me. And the other is just that, like, my greatest yearning as her mother is for her to be herself and to remain deeply connected to herself. And I just love that this way of being supports that, like, and supports her to know that, like, anything she feels, everything she needs, it's all welcome. And yeah, I'm just so excited to see, like, where that leads her. In terms of bigger picture, I mean, a world with more compassion, you know, and where people can really see and can be accountable for their own feelings or just know what they need, you know, like when you talk about the rippling out, you know, the paradigm shift from raising a two-year-old who, you know, throws sand and kicks things and all of these things that our culture just says are, you know, the terrible twos, like that just doesn't happen in our home. And if it happens for a second, we know why. You know, what does that look like at 15, 20, 30? Like, to stay so connected to that, like, loving awareness, really, that, like, all of us are and have within us. And to know that when we don't feel that way, like, how to return to it. Yeah, I mean, it's actually bigger than where my mind can go right now to, like, imagine what the world would look like. But I'm seeing it grow and grow in our community and in others. And yeah.
Yeah. Aww. And it is, that is how it is. Like, as somebody at the end of the childhood journey with my children, yeah, at 20 and 18, I so see that, like, the power of that to raise children who can see what many of us weren't able to see, and that the power of the compassion and the authentic connection to self. It's just amazing. So Ellie, how can people work with you? Where do you share? How can people get hold of you?
Thank you. So I love to write and to share my passion and experience with aware parenting on my Instagram, which is aware_village, and on my website, awarevillage.com.au. I offer one-to-one support for parents and carers. My focus at the moment is on pregnancy and birth up till age two. And I really love working with people over a longer period of time. So I offer month-long and three-month-long support, but I do also do one-off sessions. So all of that info is on my website. I'm also offering workshops in person and online. I have one coming up very soon in person in Sydney. I don't know if this will be heard in time, the 26th of April. So if you're listening to this and you're interested, it is on restful sleep and breastfeeding, and there's a few spaces left. And there's a few more exciting things in the pipeline, but I'll leave it there for now.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah, I'll put all those links in the show description. And the last thing that I always ask is, if you've got anything left to share,
always,
is, you know, what if you could go back to the beginning of your parenting journey, knowing what you know now to be true, what would you love to share with that younger version of you that would have been so beautiful to know at the beginning?
Lots of things, but I think what I would really love to say is, firstly, this is so big. And I see you. I see how big this is for you. And I would love for you to know that all of your feelings and all of your needs matter. And that the more that your needs are met and that your feelings are heard and acknowledged, the more your family can thrive. So to really call in all the support that you yearn for, there's so many different ways it's possible.
Oh, I love that. That's so lovely. What a beautiful message. What a lovely way to end. Ellie, thank you so much for making time. I've so enjoyed speaking with you. I think, as I said to you at the beginning, I love the way you share your knowledge and your wisdom around aware parenting. I love the vibe that you bring to it all. And I think the way you shared today is just going to be so helpful for people to understand this all into a greater depth and with more clarity. So thank you so much for making time.
It's such a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining me on Aware Parenting Stories. I hope you enjoyed this episode. To find out more, please visit my website, www.awareparenting.com.au, and follow me on social media at Aware Parenting with Joss. I wish you much connection and love on your parenting adventures.